be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for him. And when they found him, they asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you are the loaves that were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." But Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We read our Gospels in a three-year cycle, 1 year from Mark, then from Matthew, then from Luke. There is no year dedicated to John's Gospel, but about this time each year, we have a five-week hiatus where we read from John, which is what we're doing right now. And a central theme of John's Gospel is that the kingdom of God is not something that's going to happen in the future. It's happening here and now, and all of us have to bring it into being. Someone said to me recently, "Father, I wouldn't take $1 million for your job." And I said, "And I wouldn't sell it to you for $1 million. First of all, I love what I do. And secondly, I get to meet angels in my job. Angels are signs of God's unique presence in our midst." Father Peter Colley, who built this church between 1903 and 1906, loved angels. There are 62 angels in this room. Count them. And if I catch you during a homily going like this, you're dead in the water. But they're in the windows above the side altars. They're in the big stained glass windows, the holy water fonts. At the top of every pillar, there are the faces of cherubs. And sometime after Mass, just come up in the sanctuary and take a look at these hand-carved, rather exquisite small angels that are all over the sanctuary. But I meet greater angels than these. There's an elderly woman in the parish who has had more surgery in the past year than you can shake a stick at. And every time I see her, she just has a great big grin on her face. She's now back at Mass on the weekends, and she just sits there smiling from ear to ear. And she makes me stop and wonder, because to me, she's a sign of God's presence. I met a young man from this parish years ago when he was a college student. He was playing sports one afternoon with some of his friends, and in one of those freak accidents, he slipped and fell, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. I remember how petrified he was in those early days, but he has taken that darkness and turned it completely around, and he now is an advocate for people who are in the same situation that he's in. And whenever I run into Michael, there he is in his wheelchair, with a smile that goes from ear to ear and a big wave. He makes me stop and wonder. He's a sign of God's presence. I also see God present in so many of you young parents who come in here with infants and small children. I marvel at your patience, at your love for those children, at the sacrifice you're making that they might have and you give without. The kingdom of God is now. We just need to look around and find the angels, which are signs of God's presence, and then imitate them. Amen.